praise him in. Let's praise him in. We'll praise. Oh, praise. Yes, praise him when the sun goes. You're going to love him? Let's love. Oh, love. Oh, love him in them. Let's love him in. We'll love. Oh, love him. Love him. Who are we talking about? Will is my Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Jesus in the new. Will Jesus. My Jesus. Will Jesus when the sun goes down. Amen, amen. Meet with me in the book of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 1. I've entitled the lesson today, Confirmation. Confirmation. He is worthy. He is worthy. Why in the world would you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Jesus, therefore, in verse 1, 6 days before the Passover. Passover, this would be Jesus' last Passover. He would have participated in the Passover quite a few times by now, being a Jew boy, his mother, Jews. Passover, if you wanted to know the history, go to Exodus 12, Exodus 13. It'll tell you that the Passover was commemorated after the children of Israel had been rescued by God. And the last plague that God put on Pharaoh and the Egyptians was to kill the firstborn of any who didn't have blood on the doorpost and the mantle, the firstborn of mankind and the firstborn of beast. And all the Israelites put the blood on the doorposts, and the death angel passed over their house, and they escaped death, and they commemorated this feast, annual feast. Many Jews still do it today. Still do it today, although they might be a little misguided, because we have a Passover lamb who died one time for all mankind. But Jesus, when he was living, and I'm just giving you just some of this, you don't have time to go into it all, but you have to give a little history for those. Yeah, there are individuals who still doubt the Bible and doubt history, but you just study your history. Some things you come across that won't even be in the Bible. And you say, where did the Passover come? Why are people celebrating? Go to your Bible. It'll tell you where it came from. But back to the text. 6 days before Passover. I said it would be his last, but he really wouldn't get to this Passover. He came to Bethany, where Lazarus was. Bethany was closer. Somebody blessed me with a pointer. I got a map. If they brothers bring my map up here, I got a pointer somewhere. If they bring my map up there real quick, if you can. Just want to show them where Bethany is. I don't know. We got lights out up here. They may have a tough time pulling up that map. Oh, they don't have it. Okay, they don't have it. Okay. All right. Okay, well, just act like you see Bethany. It's close to Jerusalem. Not that far from Jerusalem. Jesus would have been making his way to Jerusalem. He hadn't quite made it there yet. You know, he was born in Nazareth, and 6 days prior to that. This is where Lazarus was. Some of you know who Lazarus was. The scriptures say whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Now, this is after that time. He'd already raised him from the dead. And I might as well say this now. Boy, Lord have mercy, but it's just not enough time. But this would be at least the third time Jesus had stopped by Mary and Martha, Lazarus' brother, sister's house. At least the third time. How do you know that, Brother Gary? Well, the first time is in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Let me read that real quick. Luke 10, 38. Everybody right this morning? See, I know it's early, but you stay awake now. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. This would seem like be the first time. Mary and Martha. You know, Martha was busy cooking, and she went back to Jesus. Jesus, can't you tell Mary to help me? Some of you remember that. This probably was the first time. The second time that we read about in the Bible, although it may not have been the second time, it could have been more than that, is the time that Mary and Martha sent for Jesus because Lazarus died. That would be in John chapter 11. Now we're in John chapter 12 right now. And Jesus went back after Lazarus had been dead in the grave for 4 days. Jesus went back to raise Lazarus from the dead. So when we get to John chapter 12, this is at least the third time. So Jesus was he was close to that family. And he stopped there. And in this particular text, although we're not going to read it all, go back to John 12. So they made him a supper, Mary and Martha, verse 2. So they made him a supper. The first time they had a supper, Martha or Mary, somebody could cook. Had been able to cook pretty good. I tell you, a lot of good things go on in supper time, especially when you got good food. Yeah. Now, do you think if they had bad food, Jesus would have went back? I tell you what, I know I don't go back. If the food is not too good. Those of you that can cook, that's a blessing. I know you can learn how to cook, too. You know, it's learned, but, you know, you can do a lot of good through some good cooking. Yeah, they say you can get a good man, sisters. I don't know how true that is. I know some brothers that can throw down. Amen, amen, amen. I think I can cook pretty good when I cook. I heard Sister KB say amen. You better say. Yes, yeah. So they made him a supper. Make somebody a supper. Minister to them. That's a great ministry. Supper is a great ministry. I wasn't able to be here yesterday when the senior saints, and I haven't heard nobody say nothing about it. I was out of pocket, but I heard the seasoned saints threw down yesterday and had good food. I didn't when I got to my office this morning, I was just expecting to see something around my door. That's all right. I understand. They loved Jesus. They loved him. And they made him a supper there. Martha was serving, as she was in Luke. She was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table. Isn't that amazing? I know some of us have, you know, we go through trials and times that we die. I know some that's in here right now who are in their hospital bed, in their sick bed. You know, when you're in that sick bed, boy, a lot of seem like days go so slow. And time go by so slow. And Lord, we have those that's watching right now that's in the sick bed. Don't give up hope. Lazarus was dead. Now what do you think his demeanor is? I tell you what, I bet he wasn't going to sleep on Jesus. As Jesus was teaching. Some trials we go through, they're good for us. Because they help us to appreciate what we didn't realize what we already had. And I bet Lazarus is hanging on every word of Jesus, reclining at the table. And if I had time, I'd read further down where you see that Mary, this is one of the times that Mary anoints Jesus with oil. I don't know, it was something about Mary. The first time Martha was cooking, Mary was in there listening to Jesus. This time Mary, and What do you think? What is it that some people seem to want to draw closer, want to know everything that Jesus has to give? And some people just seem like they just, you know, can take it or leave it. And I'm not saying that was Martha's case, because I believe Martha loved Jesus, Lazarus was listening. They weren't the only ones there. They were not the only ones there. Drop down to verse number nine. I'm finishing on time this morning. The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there. Now, how they learned it, I don't know. But I know some people just know. Some people don't. They didn't have smartphones back then, so nobody didn't text it. I tell you what, you know, today you can't hardly do nothing in secret. I mean, you know, before you get where you go, the young people, they like to tell everything. Girl, I'm in the mall right now. Yeah, I don't know, what do you call it, Snapchat? You have Snapchat, and then they probably got something better than that, quicker than that now. Well, you know, of course, Twitter. You know, the young people tell all their, girl, I'm going to the restroom, right? you telling a little too much now. But I do know this. Good news travels fast. I do know this also, bad news. Amen. Travels fast. Amen. Yeah. But large crowds knew. I know why. You'll see it in just a minute. The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there. Notice this. Where was he? He was at Mary and Martha's and Lazarus's house. At their house. And they came. Not for Jesus' sake only. I told you some people nosy. But that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. Now you look chapter 11, you see that when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it spread like wildfire. Now, everybody was not there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but after it happened, the word spread. Now it's Passover, close to Passover. Now they hear that Jesus is head. And you know, Jesus, he didn't travel. Jesus traveled with his apostles. They're going to Jerusalem, and people are seeing. Ain't that Jesus? And that Paul, Peter? That's the apostles. Yeah, that's the one. They performing miracles. Where is he going, girl? He going to Lazarus' house. Lazarus, the one he raised from the dead. Oh, I want to see Jesus, but I want to see some proof. I want some confirmation. Amen. I admit, I have done this throughout my life, especially after I became a Christian. Before I was a Christian, as a young lad, I was very, very curious. I want as much proof as I can get. You know, I want it so I can be able to explain it to others, but I want it for my, I want to know that I'm following the right one. Because see, when you, it takes confidence to live in this world and to witness and tell folk about Jesus. But when you know who he is, and when you have him in the right place, then you know your time, your in and much. How many? See, I grew up in the church, and I've been to church. I say been to church, but I'm just talking about coming to services. But since I was a boy, I can count on one hand the number of times I've ever missed Lord's Day worship service. In 40 and 50 years. And it's not to brag, but it's just to, especially when you're young, young people, you know, you get in the car with your parents, you ride in the church, and you know, you just, sometimes you be looking out the window and say, I wonder what everybody else doing. You getting up, putting on clothes, and you know some of your friends just knocked out cold, sleeping hard, stayed up all night, not worried about going to church. And then sometimes you be going right to church, you thinking about what you're going to do after church. Yeah, let alone during the week when temptations come, and everything pulling at you. Sometimes when you're grown, decisions you don't want to answer to nobody. So they came. They wanted to see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priest planned to put Lazarus to death. Oh, devil's always present. Listen now, you know from certain scripture, they're already planning to kill Jesus. But then did you not know, some of us even as Christians, did you not know they were also planning to put Lazarus to death? What did Lazarus do? Well, Lazarus was proof. As today, there's always going to be somebody, some entity. There's always going to be somebody who's trying to discredit what you believe, what we believe, to try to unconfirm what we have confirmed. And even some of them, they know what we believe is right, but they do not. It's not to their advantage that we believe it.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Notice this. This was their motivation why they wanted to put Lazarus to death. Verse 11. Because on account of him, Lazarus, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. We on the right road. Yeah, we're believing in the right one. But it's just a fact. There's evil in this world. There's some folk, I don't care what you say, what you preach, what you teach, how many times you show it, they don't want it. And that's a fact. That there's some folks that when you doing right, they want you to do wrong. They're going to do wrong, and they want to take somebody with them. Oh, have mercy. Yeah. That's why it's scary for our young people. It's scary. You know what's sad? All these old men messing with these young girls. Notice this. And all these old women taking advantage of these young boys. Amen, somebody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mess with somebody your own age. You can't get them. Oh, have mercy. Yeah. That's how the devil works. Yeah, that's how the devil works. The devil just any kind of way he, she can. The devil has many demons. Yeah. And so they just didn't, they knew what was happening. They could see it. And that's why even in the large church, and we say a lot of times, you know, we blessed here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, but we need to stay as humble as we can.
Amen.
At all times, stay humble. And sometimes you don't even want to say it too loud that you're blessed, because as soon as folks know you're blessed, as soon as somebody know things are going good, there's always somebody scheming in the background. And I, you know what, I hope, I, you know, I can pray and hope that they're not in here this morning, but they probably in here.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's been that way. It was that way in Christ's day. Jesus going around doing good. He heals this man. He raises this man from the dead. You think that everybody in the world would say, glory to God. Hallelujah, bless the Lord. He raised his man from the dead. And you got some folk that's sitting in the background saying, Lord, have mercy. They probably didn't say, Lord, have mercy, but everybody's happy and they're sad. They're mad because the tension is coming off them and it's going to somebody else. This was one of the most impactful miracles Jesus had performed. And he performed many miracles. Lazarus wasn't the only one Jesus raised from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter, raised her from the dead. But now the Bible says that Lazarus, in John 11, 17, that Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. Amen. Now, that's significant. I managed a funeral home for a while, and I'm going to tell you, that's very significant. Because once they put that embalming fluid in you, ain't nobody getting up off that table today. And Lazarus was in the scriptures say he was in the tomb for 4 days. Well, yeah, do any of the dead people ever get up and ever move? No, they don't. Oh, no, they tell me they jump sometime. You've been watching too much TV. Now, I'm not saying that after a person passes, shortly after that, there may be something that might make them twitch a little bit, something like that. But 4 days, no, they're not going anywhere. Amen, somebody. I don't know where you just keep on. Tell that somebody else. Drop down to verse 12. This is beautiful. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast. Now, this is the feast, Passover feast. Remember? Now, they came to Mary and Martha's dad, but Mary and Martha didn't feed everybody. They weren't coming there to eat. They made that supper for Jesus. But now, remember, Jesus was really headed to Passover. And this is so logical, and even for those who that's why I kind of want to show you on the map of the map to show you how close Bethany was to Jerusalem. It was within a day's journey. And now the next day, the large crowd who'd come to the feast, to the Passover feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now, everybody might have didn't make it to Martha and Mary's house, but they knew Jesus was going to Jerusalem. They took the branches of the palm trees, went out to meet him, and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Oh, that was so significant. The Jews were looking for a savior. They were looking for a king, although they were looking for a king that would triumph maybe in their earthly time. But they recognized this man is special. It's special. He's been performing miracles, healing people, feeding thousands of folk, and the word spread everywhere. And Jesus now, y'all know Jesus is going to be in Jerusalem. All this must be, he has to be the king. Amen. And they brought palm branches. It was just significant. Only they do things like this when royalty was coming. And they laid the palm leaves down in the street. And they yelled out, "Hosanna." You know what the term Hosanna means? It's similar to hallelujah that we would say. Similar, but not. It really literally means please deliver us. It literally means to beg, we beg you to save us. That's what they were saying. Hosanna, save us, Lord, save us, King. And see, the Jews at that time, most of them were living under Roman rule and had oppression, and they seemed like they didn't have something that they were on, and they wanted deliverance. And now Jesus is coming on the scene. This has to be him. This has to be the king. Notice this. Verse 14. Jesus, finding a young donkey, he sat on it. As it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, notice this, his own disciples, they didn't know when Jesus uttered these words, he actually uttered the words from an Old Testament text that would be found in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9. The same words. They didn't recognize what Jesus was saying when he said them. But after the people started praising, he was glorified, and they were saying, "Hosanna, King, save us, King, deliver us." They said, that is what he's talking about, the prophecy. They understood it. Listen to what it says. His disciples did not understand at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him. You, on your own time, read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And that they had done these things to him. Now the disciples' faith is being confirmed even more. Listen, I'm telling you, I know though some of you have been baptized a long time. Some of you have been in the church a long time. How's your faith? His own disciples who were there from the very beginning saw Jesus turn water to wine, saw Jesus feed 5,000, feed 4,000, saw him heal the sick, saw him raise Darius' daughter, saw him raise Peter's mother-in-law. All of these miracles, and they still were doubting. I'm ashamed sometimes that my face is like a, it's just like it. Gary, don't you realize who you're serving? Don't you realize you're in the master's hands? Why are you fretting so? Why are you worried? Why are you sitting around worrying about, why give it to God, Gary? What you whining about? Yeah. And then we get reminders. Thank the Lord. Boy, God is good. We get reminders. He don't just, he don't whoop us every time. I thank the Lord that my mother didn't, I tell you what, though, she whooped us enough, though. I thank the Lord my daddy was quiet in the house. He gave you some looks sometimes, a lot of time. But he didn't act all the time. Mama, Benson, I don't know what these children, they about to run me crazy. You need to do something. Them boys, I hear them boys, they be playing. You need to do some boys getting old, they getting hard-headed. You need to do something, boy. You need to do something with them boys. Sometimes my dad would just listen. Sometimes, and mothers get, what you gonna say? You ain't gonna say nothing? I find myself sometimes, our kids were young, she be, anybody care? I'm telling you, ain't talking to these boys. You probably don't know, you girls, you see him? I think I heard somebody up late last night. I'm telling you, I be talking to him. And she said, be talking, and sometimes she say, you listen to me? And you know what? Sometimes I would listen, and sometimes I wouldn't. But I heard her. I heard her. My daddy was in me. But you know what? Sometimes I would just, if you whoop your children every time they did something wrong, if you whooped them every time, you really would exasperate your children. You leave them no hope. Who's going to be perfect? And God is so wonderful. He sees everything, but sometimes the best cure is to let somebody see their own self. I don't know. Lord, give us wisdom to know when to do that. But his disciples were there with him, and they said they didn't understand what Jesus was saying, but now it hits on some of us. I tell you what, I know I'm more mature than I am. that I used to be 20 years ago. Amen. I still have a ways to go. Notice this. Let's finish reading. I'm going to end on time. Verse 17. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. Yeah, I'm telling you, this I saw it. Jesus, he raised Lazarus. This is our king. This is the one. They continued to testify about him. This says this. For this reason also the people went and met him because they heard that he performed this. That's why the crowds were there. Notice this. So the Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him. I told you the devil's always there. Pharisees were really worried now. They were really worried. And they knew that they had to do something, or their jobs, their very livelihoods. They were scared that they was going to be taken away. Nobody not going to listen to us now. Just flat out jealousy, flat out envy. If you are being consumed by envy over anybody, on your job, in your family, in your neighborhood, that is most displeasing to God. Don't let anybody control, especially if they are doing something good. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that caused Cain to kill his brother Abel. Off of the side, Cain, you can do this. You do well and God will be pleased with you also. Oh, have mercy. Verse 44, John 12. After Jesus knowing that his hour was at hand. And he foretells, before I get to 44, he foretells of his death. He knows what's coming before him. Listen to this. And Jesus cried out and said, he who believes, he who believes, you know, we see our theme is making disciples. Now, when he says he who believes, no, he's he who becomes my disciple. See, there are different motivations and different levels of belief, of faith. And Jesus, when he said that he who believes, notice it, he goes on to say, in me, does not believe in me, but him who sent me, 45. He who sees me sees the one who sent me, 46. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Now, let me make the distinction. Same chapter, just go up a couple of verses in John 12:42. Listen to this. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him. That's like right now, in the audience right now. I don't know if someone is watching. There are a lot of people who, quote, unquote, believe in Jesus. They have a measure of belief. But understand this, that if our belief does not motivate us to confess, become a disciple, a student, a pupil of Christ, it's not the kind of belief God is looking for. Lord have mercy. Help us, Jesus. Yeah. Why didn't they take it a step further, Brother Gary? For fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. That's the Pharisees. That's the rulers. Did you understand? Do you understand what this is saying? Some of the very Pharisees, some of those that were in the council sitting around the 70 chairs, some of the rulers knew Jesus was who he was. They knew he came from God. They knew he was the king of Israel. But they didn't want to lose their position. You know people right now. I talk to people throughout the years. I worked in the funeral business. I've talked to several individuals who are quote unquote spiritual, who are honored in their congregations, if you will, who have status in their places, who play on instruments, who know the truth. But they don't want to lose their position. Verse 43, what's the motivation? For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Let me finish the text. John 12:48. He who rejects me does not receive my sayings. See, so our belief, our discipleship, that's why we've been harping on this all year. Our discipleship is more than just saying, I'm a believer. It's more than that, church. Yes, we're growing. No, we're not there yet. It's more than showing up. It's more than sitting and listening and even admiring a lesson. Oh, yes, it's good for us and it feeds us, but it's more than tickling the ears. He said that he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. If you're here today, and I know we have many disciples here this morning, and I just want to keep reminding us, and we want to confirm to us that he is worthy. Jesus is worthy of our discipleship. He's the one. Yes, no one can measure. No one has done the things that Jesus has done and even continues to do right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, who even now is pulling for us to the end. So whoever you are, wherever you are, if you have not chosen to be a disciple, you need to make the choice, because there's going to come a time that the final answer we have to give. And Jesus says, don't reject me, because that's the only, see, if you reject me, you reject my words, you have one. That Jesus says, I didn't come to judge. No, I didn't. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. But God is going to judge everybody one day. Every person will answer the call, and you will answer, why did you reject Jesus? So you're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to become one. This is a call. This is an invitation for you to become a disciple of Jesus. It's so much in the Bible, I don't know you. That's all right. Don't worry. You don't have to be the smartest person to get to heaven. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to know every verse in the Bible to get to heaven. Some folk in the church think you do. But God can take you right where you are. But I tell you one thing that all of us have to have and come. We have to obey the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it starts with our faith. But our faith must be so strong, must be strong enough to compel us, listen now, to repent of all of our sins. You have to renounce sin. No, it's why Jesus came to this world, to die for our sins. So you have to renounce what's wrong is wrong. A lie is a lie. Stealing is stealing. I'm having a problem, girl. Did you say a lie is a lie? I have a problem with lying. Well, you have to make up in your mind, I don't want to lie anymore. I'm turning this. You can't say, well, I'm going to come to Jesus, but I'm going to keep lying. Well, don't. That's the wrong attitude, sister, brother. Well, but I know people in the church that lie, yes, but they got to answer to God themselves. Amen. All of us have to answer to God. One good thing about being in Christ Jesus, Jesus was tempted in every way, just like we were. And he offers forgiveness for us. And we have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. You can't be ashamed that you're a Christian. You must be willing to be baptized in water. You must submit yourself to water baptism. And Jesus' blood cleanses us from all of our sins. That's how we get into Christ. And once you get into Christ, notice this, you got a chance. You have the great, you have the best opportunity. You have an opportunity. Matter of fact, a new convert that's baptized into Jesus Christ that haven't been polluted by some. See, some folk been in the church so long, they know every sermon. They know every, they know all the people. Yeah, I know that family. They ain't right. I know them. I used to know him when he, folk know too much. Amen. You're a new convert. You don't know all the books of the Bible. If God calls you, you die. The Bible says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. But I just stopped by this morning to confirm you are in the right place. You're serving the right Savior. And on next Sunday, Lord willing, next Sunday if we get there, I want to talk about the church family. Our church family, the church family, church business, the church family, how our role in God's church after we become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You here today, you need to be baptized in Christ for the remission of all your sins. If you have a prayer request, if you need to get something right, get it right now as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, it is for you and me. Let us drink, oh, to his spring.
It is a fountain.